Good morning, everyone. I'll reconvene here. Firstly, thank you to the council for the accepting that we have adjourned for so long, and now we can continue with your case.
Thank you, sir. That is, of course, not a problem from the council's end. Just before I call Ms. Devlin, I'll just give a some details in terms of Dr. Reed. She still has some evidence to call. I have arranged for her to appear on Monday, 4th of September, alongside Mr. Heath and Ms. Nalshot. So the council's next planning witness is Ms. Gilda Devlin. She has prepared three statements of evidence in relation to Group 1C, which is Queenstown Urban, Central West and Arthur's Point. So just to confirm you have the evidence in front of you, is the Section 42A report dated 24th of May, a statement of rebuttal evidence dated 7th of July, and a supplementary statement of rebuttal evidence dated 11th of July, and of course the summary of evidence, which is dated 21st of July. I will start by asking Ms. Devlin to read through pages 1 and 2 of the summary, which is an introduction, and then if we have any questions on that part before we get into specific rezoning information.
Thank you. I'm the author of the Group 1C, Queenstown, Urban, Central West and Arthur's Point evidence and rebuttal. In the evidence summary, I summarise my recommendations made generally, and I provide more detail on some submissions where there are areas of significant disagreement, and understand that I will present that part of my summary on a site-by-site basis to the panel. 47 submissions and 27 further submissions on rezoning or mapping annotations were received in relation to the Group 1C area. These are considered in my Section 42A report, and 15 are further considered in my rebuttal evidence. I recommend the rezoning of 10 sites, either in part or in their entirety, from rural to an urban zone or an urban upzoning. The total development capacity of the recommended rezoning beyond that enabled by the PDP would be approximately 305 lots. In relation to Darrell Sampson and Louise Cooper's submission, 195, at 182 the Arthur's Point Road, Arthur's Point, I refer to legal submissions regarding whether that part of the submission relating to the rural visitor Arthur's Point zone is on stage 1. Even if the submission point was within stage 1, I do not consider that the submitter has provided the evidence necessary to justify the zone's inclusion within the PDP. Further, I understand that the ODP rural visitor zone will be reviewed in a later stage, including the particular part of 182D Point Road, and therefore this provides the submitter with some confidence that the most appropriate zone for that land will be considered in the plan review. The council should consider dealing with the entire site at the same time. In the meantime, any consents would need to be pursued under the ODP framework. I recommend retaining the notified PDP zonings over the remaining 36 sites where a rezoning was sought or the notified zoning was supported. For submissions accepted or accepted in part, I recommend the following areas to be rezoned from rural to an urban zoning. Lot 102, Deputy 411971, towards the eastern end of Queenstown Hill above the Frankston Marina, enabling an additional 24 low density rezoning lots. This is Remarkable Heights Limited, submission 347. Lot 1, Deputy 496901 on Vancouver Drive, Queenstown Hill, enabling an additional 54 medium density residential lots. QLDC, submission 790. Lot 602, DP 306902, between Kerry Drive and Mulligan Street on Queenstown Hill, enabling an additional 6 LDR lots. Queenstown Act District Council 719 submission again. And part of Section 1 ECO 24074 and Lot 12 DP 307630 and part of Lot 2 DP 393406 at 111, 113, 115 and 163 at the road, Arthur's Point, enabling an additional 20 LDR jobs. And submitted here, Michael Swan, taken over by Gertrude Dattery Limited 494 and Larchmont Developments Limited 527. I recommend the following urban areas should be upzoned: 139 Fernhill Road and 10, 12, 14 and 16 Richards Park Lane in Fernhill, enabling an additional 3 NPR lots. The Red Group Limited, taken over by Coherent Hotels Limited, 699. Lots 1 and 2, DP2, 5, 442 at 31 Franklin Road, Central Queenstown, enabling an additional 59 HDR lots. Littler, Millennium Airport Hotel, New Zealand Limited, 679. The block bound by Franklin Road, Airways and Suburb Street, Central Queenstown, enabling an additional 64 HDR lots. Data retention, NAM, 61. Lot 1 DP 9121 at 634 Frankton Road along with Frankton Arm, enabling an additional 15 NPR lots. Mount Crystal Limited 150. The northern part of Lot 13 DP 27397 on Windsor Place, Queenstown Herald, enabling an additional 50 NPR lots. Submitted PJ and GH Kingsman and Southern Lake Holdings Limited 543. 11 Belfast Terrace, 2, 4 and 6 Manchester Place on Queenstown Hill, enabling an additional 10 NDR lots. Alien Trustees Limited, 718.
Can I just ask you a question regarding the land in paragraph 6C that you just talked about? It's on map 35. I wonder, when we look at that, did we consider the zoning of the land around it?
So this is the Kerry Drive, Nellingham Street?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
So, could you explain to me the practicality of the narrow strip of rural land on the adjoining site, which is only part of the site?
So there's a right up in here.
I know it's not covered by submissions, but it just seems to me.
Do you mean the T that goes to the north?
Well, all of those places along Kerry Drive seem to have the back, their backyards are so rural.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there's a panel. You have an opinion as to whether that is sensible or nonsensical zoning.
I guess keeping a tiny little strip at the north of this site, then yes, from a, you know, from a pure planning perspective, is nonsensical because it's not going to provide anything here. With the other strips further along the Commonage Village site above that rural zone, I'm not sure why the urban growth boundary doesn't go around the property boundaries, and it could be something to do with the way the Commonage Villas were consented, you know, so they had requirements to do all kinds of landscape plantings and stuff in front of them. But I'd have to look into that history. No,
That was the council land, wasn't it?
This was dock land.
It's swapped to the council, and then the council subdivided it.
Yeah.
Mm. So the council put the lock boundaries where they were as the developer.
What must have done, yeah.
Yes. It just seems to me, I tend to agree with you, that it seems illogical that someone's backyard is actually outside the urban growth boundary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I have a
Is that the same as
C? Yes. Yes, they're both on the same submission.
Yes, I'm just looking at the shall I just ask my teacher myself one more time. Thank you.
The other question I had is in paragraph 4 you're talking about the Samson and Cooper's land, and you say that provides the submitter with some confidence that the most appropriate zone for the label. How can they have that confidence if the council chooses not to relook at the rural land?
I personally struggled with this, how to sort of progress this submission in a fair but also a legally robust way. I had to ask Sarah to help me with the way that the second stage will get progressed and potentially a variation over this site. I struggled with the staged approach and the fact that the submitted site is split zoned. And that there is the potential for them to be, I guess, moved out of it if they can't continue through as part of that process. When I visited the site and walked over it, I couldn't, Marion and I visited it together and we couldn't see it like a landscape or a topographical reason for the zone boundary, and so which is why I think that the part of it that we've sort of all agreed on is appropriate for some kind of zoning. But then I've struggled with how that actually happens when they've asked for an ODP zone that doesn't fit within the PDP framework. And there's section 32AA that they've suggested that there's some positive benefits, and I disagree with that because I don't think that what the ODP RDZ enables is positive.
Well, I was going to ask a follow-up question. I understand the legal before it was scoped. Would it be within scope for the panel to recommend a PDP zone, a PDP urban zone, such as low-density residential?
Would it be within the scope of what they've...
What they've sought is essentially an urban zone with unlimited density residential development. I'm just wondering whether
they could move back from that too.
And say, and then if the council doesn't like that in stage two, the council would then have to reconsider that leaving that rural doesn't leave the submitted with anything, does it?
No.
You might like to comment on the scope issues.
Yes, thank you. In paragraph 4 of Ms. Stephens' summary, I believe her comment about some confidence relates to the portion of the site that hasn't been notified in stage 1 and is the operative rural business portion of the site. And some confidence comes from the fact that the rural visitor zone is being reviewed and notified in the subsequent stage of the review, and what that rural visitor zone or something similar or something different may look like is that's a conclusion at this point in time. But the comment relates to the notification of that portion of the land in the later stage.
Yes.
That is not a complete answer in terms of the whole site. Right. Ms. Stephen has then recommended that the council consider the whole site in that later stage.
So, given the submission seeks that the whole site be zoned rural visitor zone, do you consider that it would be within the scope for the panel to recommend that the whole site be zoned low density residential, for example?
No, I do not. That is because the operative rural visitor zone hasn't been notified in stage one. So that portion of the site essentially falls into a category of land that the panel can issue the minute on in terms of getting a view into its scope and whether it can apply PDP provisions at this point in time. There is the motion machine case law, High Court authority, which does direct some degree of pragmatism in taking a view at the scope in terms of you know, some flexibility around the edges, I guess, in terms of where that line is. And you know, this is one situation that the High Court may have been envisaging when it gave that minor exception in the motion machine case. What the council can do in the later stage is it can re-notify land with another, with a certain zone, whether it be the equivalent of the, whatever the operative district plan rules of the zone may look like. The council may decide that it's appropriate for the whole site, and it will depend on timing in terms of issuing the decisions on stage one, whether that would be a variation or whether it would be a plan change.
Just going back to the beginning of your comment, if someone lodges a submission seeking, for instance, rural visitor zone, that is not automatically excluded. What they're seeking is the provisions as presently written out be included in the PDP, and that I see that as entirely within the scope. We may consider them inadequate, those provisions, but I'm wondering if that provides an end. Planning has always got a range of options, and at one end you've got the rural zone, and the other is the rural visitor zone. Are there any proposed plan zones which lay within that spectrum of what was sought and what was notified?
Oh yes, Mr. Chair, I think we're talking about two different types of scope. One in terms of geographic areas on the ground.
No, I'm talking about the bit that's in rural.
Yes, and sorry, I thought your question before was in relation to the whole site, whether there's a scope to apply a zone to the whole site, and my submission is that there isn't. In terms of the portion of the site that has been notified, yes, there is scope to zone that land operative rural visitor if the evidence satisfies all the tests that I talked about in my opening, and there is scope to rezone it to anything in between the notified rural zone and what the operative rural visitor provides for. And when you look at that, you need to consider the types of activities that are provided for in the rural visitor zone and also, for example, density.
Yes.
And I believe Ms. Evan, the answer to your question was that one of the low density zones would fall within that scope, which you may want to consider.
Yes, I mean, it would in terms of development capacity, height, setback. I mean, anything would be a setback from the ODP RVG, given that it doesn't have internal setbacks and all those things that you already know. Yes, so certainly you could go back.
And what it may look like,
it
certainly gives the submitters
more than rural
a position. Yes.
And going forward, though, I might be asking a question of you, Sarah, if the panel recommended that an alternative zone somewhere in the scope be applied to that, how does that go forward with stage two, or they were looking at the RVZ, if you have a little pop of
the council could reconsider.
Just a factual thing, I'm not. Well, was the submission only seeking rural visitor on part of the site?
Yes, just they were. So they're part zoned at the moment. So a little bit of their site is in the RVZ already, and then most of the site is rural. And they, their original submission sought RVZ over all of the rest of the site, and Marion recommended excluding a small area that's part of the Shotover River OEM to sort of speak to it. And their landscape expert actually came back and agreed with that, so they just narrowed the scope down a bit. But yeah, basically the rest of their site, excluding the steep slope.
Just make sure I'm getting it quite right. Really, in terms of what Mr. Nugent's just been talking about, which, how much of the site could be zoned? Zoned into New Zealand?
Area wise?
Mm. Well, with parts of it. It's not the whole of the site.
No, so there would be, so they've already got part of their site is RBZ already.
In the ODB?
Yep. And then it would be the rest of their site minus a small steeply sloping bit that goes down to the river, and hopefully in my section 42 I actually have an area, because that's what we're going to derive the development capacity from.
Okay, but we can't touch the part which is only there, the RV there, and the...
No,
they didn't leave it at that. And they were happy with it, I guess. So just the other point there is, what is your view of the value of split zoning the site map as between, say, an urban zone and rural, if we were minded to grant the submission in respect of the fit for snow time rural? In other words, is it, if it's a steep bank, which is probably you can't do anything with, should we be zoning steep banks rural, or just accepting that they actually have an urban zone and you just can't do anything with it? And maybe it becomes a council reserve contribution at some stage or something. I just struggle with this idea that we create rural lots that people can then ask for a building platform on.
And perhaps clear a building restriction and allow them to zoning all that stuff. Like if they would be a smart or maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rather than having, you were saying, three zoning.
Yes.
Right. And one of them, which building platform can be applied for, is what they don't want.
Yeah.
It seems to be a habit that has been used in the proposed plan of anything that seems important in the landscape terms is over rural, irrespective of whether you're cutting it off from a site. And in Arthur's point, there are several instances of this. That would be useful if you could give us your view, perhaps in the rebuttal of whether in instances like this, you accept that some part should be, whether the other part should actually equally have an urban zone, but have a building restriction, rather than creating the potential for further development because it's so rural. And it's discretionary to subdivide to any site size. And there's no shortage of examples in this district of residential development and rural land.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Are we still doing questions on page 2, which will be lovely to get off the board? May I raise one question?
Yes.
So another 157Z. I understand the scope issue. I wanted to ask Ms. Wendy Banks about the roaming pattern or the internal roaming that would serve this development were it to be enabled. Struck me when we did our site visit that it wasn't well served by accessible roaming from either side.
No, for this one, I am protected from the access of
functional. Yes, I knew you did that. I'm asking you the next question.
So, contrarily, Well, I guess with this one, I just see somewhat many have either time as a financial or how they would feel and show that it's not very accurate for them to find the time which I'm interested in. I feel more better on the access of country water as well.
I think along with a lot of the others on this page relates to the Queenstown Airport Corporation and their submission wanting to, shall we say, anticipate possible future controls. And I know the council's taken a key line on that one, which is no, and then you've got an OPB or a taken an AUB, then that will change.
I would support what Ms. Kim Banks has said on that, that it's outside their out control boundary, which needs to go out to 22-7. I think that the airport is reaching a little bit too far out.
And just clarify, as I think Dr. Reed is recommending, a part, and that's what you go on with in your main report, but it was a little bit ambiguous in the summary, so you're going with her recommendation?
Yes, so I'm accepting her landscape evidence about the ONL, and unfortunately she's not here to talk about it more, and so based a potential development area or zone, perhaps the rezoning area based on that. That area.
Yeah.
So you're right, it may not have all of exactly all of those numbers.
Unless I go back, unless I go back to the main report and see what questions I can see.
Chair, I just want to ask about Stephen Eve, the Belfast Mayor, at which in the end of the day, and that was a, I think, the loading for the residential to remember next week.
The submitter requested high density, and I recommend that that should be rejected. I didn't go down the middle path in my section 42A, and then they put in, they still said they thought that high density would be the best, and that in an ideal world, a lot of Queenstown Hill, in their view, should be high density, but they said, we probably don't have scope to ask for all that, and they agreed that medium density would be suitable.
And you settled on that. That was a good reminder to me. I'll just signal at some point I'm trying to ask questions, and I don't know when you are trying to ask questions about the value, the ratio of the value of improvements to the land values, and whether there's a particular threshold that triggers redevelopment. Because upzoning from one to another, especially thinking on medium density, it has to be done in places where it's going to result in what Mr. Osborne said was needed, which is actual change.
Yeah.
So can you file that thought? Because it comes up several times. It comes up with respect to Kent and New York. The systems improvements that we expect. Mm. I'd just like to understand it. Thank you. Now I'm done.
Sarah, that's the questions on the general overview. we can start working through these specific submissions. The first subgroup
is Queenstown Hill Upper Marina. The first submission is Remarkable to Height, Limited number 347, which is a rezoning to rural to low-density. The seat was obtained with the
No.
Any questions, though?
No. Sorry, I'm a bit lost for your option.
That's one that she's recommended.
Sorry.
6A is recommended. It'd be rezoned.
This was a small boundary adjustment on a couple of
sites. Okay.
Yes, there's quite a few submissions that are not addressed in the decision summary. I can refer to you to them just in case you do have questions, or we can refer through the ones that she has covered. Maybe your hand is there.
Well, I've done my comments on the table, which has gone line by line, sorry.
And so have I. So
That works well. But there's no questions on the Remarkable Height. The next is Middleton Family Trust, submission 336.
So the Queenstown Heights overlay over the site is based on risks associated with natural hazards, which I consider the submitter has not addressed. The main issue of contention is whether the overlay must be retained in order to address natural hazards, or whether it is appropriate for it to be removed to enable conventional LDR development of the site. Council's geotechnical expert, Mr. Charlie Watts, is rebuttal evidence is that the submitter has not provided a geotechnical investigation or evidence that addresses natural hazards within the site, that the reports provided by the submitter do not provide relevant information for the land in question, and that the submitter would need to provide the equivalent type of information for the site itself in order to support the rezoning to LDR. Therefore, I recommend that the rezoning request be refused based on a lack of geotechnical expert support for removing the overlay.
Why had an opener? Why was it floating to start with?
I have
sort of become your go away plan here.
Yeah, I have tried to dig through the previous iterations of the plan back in time to find out exactly where this overlay came from. Unfortunately, my husband at the council couldn't find all the paper documents as well, but I've sort of been informed by various people who I sort of called up to ask about it that yes, it was all about the natural hazards and the Queenstown landslide over the site. So it's been a little bit frustrating to me that I couldn't find the actual documents saying here's the reason for it, it's because of this. I've looked through Geotech reports that look at all the hazards along there and how they've been translated into the GIS to do with risks off the hill and down to the state highway. So that seems to be all it's about. So the 1500 minimum lot size was put on there to somehow address this risk. The submitter has come in and said, well, you know, this should be removed. No one has said to me, and maybe I'm asking too much, that this is, you know, this could be safe for ordinary LDR development, because it is an active landslide going over part of the site. I don't know exactly where it goes, but the GIS has a broad sort of outline of it. And I know that in the 1999 floods, there was a similar active landslide further down Queenstown Hill, the Frankston landslide, that started moving and didn't quite get as far as the units in front near the VT, but got pretty close, and people had to be evacuated. So I guess I have these sort of things in mind. I'm like, well, is that the situation we have here? Or have I completely misinterpreted and I just don't have, you know, no one with that geotechnical background has said to me, given me something that I can present to the panel saying it's fine.
Was it zoned LDR and which plan? When did it first become LDR?
I think that whole area has definitely been there in the previous one.
So it's mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, predate that. I'm not sure. I'd need to go, yeah, look through the previous district scheme or whatever it was back then. Thank you. That's the response to my district.
Is the difficulty we have with this site, and it's probably not the only one, is that we don't, amongst the residential zones, we actually don't have an urban zone for areas potentially prone to natural hazards that would allow an assessment, such as by making it discretionary but saying it can be residential. Mm. Is that what the problem is in reality? And so it's a sort of a blunt, using a bit of a speech hammer and
it
saying it's well 1500 minimum, but it may be 700 minimum may be okay, but you're going to have to prove it. Mm. Is that what the problem is, isn't it?
It does seem to be like that, don't know how that, so the 1500 seems to be that there's something you could do on the site and you find where it is and it's way out, but it's blunt.
How does 1500 go? I mean, it's a good 1500.
Yeah.
And I suppose what I'm querying is how effective this technique is, because even to subdivide the site for 1500 metres as the zone plus, wouldn't you have to have a geotechnical investigation?
Yes, you would.
You'd have to have a thorough idea even to do that much.
Mm-hmm. So,
whereas if the overlay wasn't there and somebody wanted to spread it, they'd have to do that same year too.
Yes,
it
does.
So what does this achieve? This isn't going to be achieved anyway. Then the client comes to stuff about that's my point. I don't see this as an effect. I'm struggling to see this as a useful thing.
Hey, my daughter, it doesn't seek the 106 supply, no matter what minimum site size.
Yes, it
does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess because I haven't been able to find exactly where this came from and what
it's
trying
to remember,
well, I'm reluctant to, yeah, and because active landslides, like, you know, don't sound like they're suitable for residential development. So I just, if someone could find that information and put it in front of me and so it could be in front of you.
But then, equally, that information, if it was found, and it would have to be found with the same request for starters to be subdivided, would be found and dealt with then.
What method would work to enable some subdivision of the land in accordance with the land fund? Because this method of the overlay is not equal. Somebody applies 1,500 square metre lots all over the show. It's no better than just the mountains you just look at over. So what do you do? Just let it low density residential and trust the development consenting process to sort it out?
Well, to a degree it would sort it out because, yeah, there hasn't been known. They would have to go find a geotech report, find the areas that are suitable and unsuitable and good ground and all the rest of it. But I guess that just because I don't have enough in front of me to say that it's a blunt tool, it hasn't achieved anything, I've been reluctant to recommend that it's removable because then you're giving someone that sort of zoning that says, oh, you can go ahead and, you know, like it looks as though it's fine.
I think including it in the urban growth plan, we do that anyway.
Yes. Yeah. And it's already zoned, and nobody's challenged the LDR.
Mm.
No.
So it's us with LDR.
Definitely.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. It's a pretty lovely one. Thank you.
Opportunity to Mount Crystal Limited Submission 150.
Thank you. The submitter has filed evidence in support of regaining the site at 634 Franklin Road from LDR to HDR. My understanding of the primary submission is that it requested either half NDR and half HDR, or NDR with site-specific provisions for height and visitor accommodation. I recommend that the entire site should be rezoned NDR. The main areas of disagreement are whether the site is appropriately located for HDR rezoning and can be served by firefighting requirements. I consider that development enabled by an HDR zone would appear out of character in this location. I also rely on the surveillance evidence that the submitter has not demonstrated there is adequate infrastructure planned in the LTP to service the
W3 firefighting supplies or HDR zoning. As mentioned, I have concerns that the amended relief for the entire site to be zoned HDR is not within the scope of the original submission.
I've just got a question on this in your rebuttal of paragraph 14 on page 6. You say it is produced in MDR lots or 55 MDR lots in total. Wouldn't someone doing the development of that site where a large park can't be built on, do it using, say, a new title act subdivision and have it very, very dense on developable land and have the remainder as common land? Wouldn't that give you a greater density than 55?
Yes, I guess it could. Yep. And that's what's been done on sites in that sort of area.
Mm.
As well.
So they'd effectively get HDR on the developable land anyway.
That's right. So the HDR thought over the whole thing, which I recommended, the MDR, effectively could be that, but in the appropriate areas around the gully.
So if you go the other way and say if it's MDR, do the bulk of location requirements of MDR restrict the overall development of that site unnecessarily? In other words, if you can only develop in two small areas, are you better to zone it HDR and allow those two small areas to be more densely developed?
Potentially. Because the MDR is a step up from LDR, but not a massive step.
Mm.
You do have reduced setback and a little bit more height. Certainly if you were trying to maximise those areas to the side, you probably would end up breaching a lot of things.
Mm.
Or not necessarily dealing with any effects.
Mm.
And I guess my only other concern about HDR was the height. I don't know if there were bits in there that would sort of qualify as being flat, which get a lot more height, but it's pretty steep.
I don't recall if there was much behind the effect of it.
Body corporate 22362, submission 389.
Thank you. Mr. Sean McLeod has filed evidence in relation to rezoning the body corporate 22362 land and surrounding area known as Goldfield, as well as areas along Frankton Road and much of Fern Hill, from LDR to MDR. I agree with Mr. McLeod that the sites appear generally suitable for MDR development from a locational perspective, and I support Mr. McLeod's purpose in requesting large-scale upzonings within the urban growth boundary in order to avoid urban sprawl from his submission. However, I rely on the evidence of Ms. Banks and Mr. Glasner, who both retain their opposition to the rezoning request from a transport and infrastructure perspective, respectively. I consider that the main area of disagreement is whether transport and infrastructure capacity or planned upgrades should or must support upzoning within the urban growth boundary.
Brody Crockett 22362. Sean and Jean McLeod, submission to your name one, set up 51.184 hectares of land via the form from low density residential to medium density residential. The areas of the land sought include Fern Hill and Sunshine Bay, which I did not afford. The submission extends along Frankton Road and includes Panorama Terrace, Larchwood Heights, Andrews Park, Schofield, Battery Hill, Marina Heights and everything in between. I do not afford the Frankton Road areas in my evidence in chief. My opinion was based on both areas being relatively close to Queenstown Centre with excellent opportunity for walking and cycling as well as existing public transport facilities available. In my evidence in chief, I appoint Royal Crawford 22362 for mission because of the concerns on the impact on the Golden Heights intersection of the State Highway. I realise that I gave a conflict in evidence with submission 389 and 391 as they are in the same area. In my error, I thought that submission 389 referred to the Goldwood Heights area on the Atlas Road. Therefore, I based it on a reliance on private vehicle use rather than using alternative transport. Consequently, I now no longer uphold the commission.
In your 642A report on page 25 at the top, you talk about the yield within the body corporate site of an additional 150 lots. I just wondered whether that was a theoretical or a realistic yield.
Theoretical.
Right.
In that, I mean, the reading of the current evidence and we're describing what is actually there. Mm-hmm. And what is actually there does sound more like new intensity development, doesn't it?
That's the way it's been developed in the yet similar to Mr. Ugent's example for the previous site where unit titling and large common property area.
Is there much else of that in what in the suburban part of Queenstown? I mean, because I've seen, we go to the site visits and we can't tell from the outside what's going on the inside of the building. So what might be low density residential for the mass may well be in reality is the same thing as this. Is there much of that? Because that must affect everything that you do thanks as well.
I think what they've achieved in that Goldfield site is I mean, definitely the lot sizes will be, or the unit titles are smaller than LGR, but because there's a lot of common property, I'm not sure if the whole capacity
of LGR is all fun.
Yeah, that's right. Through resource consents, it may end up that it was much the same. It's just been done in a more concentrated way, and they have this common property and the whole thing is body corporate. I can't think of any other sort of really large body corporate areas like that.
Not that I know of.
I mean, you certainly get the, the sort of the greenstone apartment type things, but they don't have all that common property, they've just done a comprehensive residential development approach. So some of those further down by Clacton Road, but that really large body corporate. Alpine Village, do they have common areas or is it?
Down what was suggested.
Moving to Suburb 2, this is Queenstown Central. Firestone Investments Limited, that's a submission by submitter 722, which is in support of high density residential. If you don't have any questions, I will move to Renicles Park Limited, which is a submission on PC 50 Rand, so that one's out of scope.
I was actually unsure where that one was when I looked at it. This is all the time within PC50, is it?
Yes, the submission is a little bit unusual. We have liaised with Remarkable Park about their intentions as well. I think we are on the same page that submission does go.
Okay.
Turning to Arts Investment Limited, submission 410, that submission again is in support of Hyde and State Residential. So unless there are any questions, I'll move to subgroup 3, which is submission seeking what is termed down zone. A submission by Mr. Grant Keeley, number 1359.
Yes,
I'm just making sure I've got the picture. For some reason, Wi-Fi has got a very slow. Okay. Should we keep this? And this is the discussion I was signaling before with Stephen about Mr. Osborne's point about the need to enable what medium density housing in order to improve the chances of affordable development actually happening. And the, you know, what is the trigger for redevelopment to happen? So I'm still waiting for this to pick up a couple to get, I don't think, I'll have a look at the observation tonight. Remember what the number of going?
If you're looking at the section 42A,
that's the ship number of the plane name.
55.
These ones from recollection were six houses, roughly a couple of vacant lots, and the picture is really not vacant. And they look to me to be houses with some considerable value on sites that were possibly fully developed within perhaps the existing zone constraints. I don't know. Perhaps you can tell me about that. But zoning them high density residential to start with, what was the premise for making that call?
I think the zone boundary here between HDR and LDR was just simply carried over from the ODP map. So I don't think it's been used in this location.
Right, so that establishes the history of it, which is good. And so somebody obviously went through and deciding to confirm the existing zone boundary, decided it was still relevant, probably on the criteria that the banks use as proximity walking and all that, that's all fine. What is the likelihood of that land being redeveloped for high density given its ownership, the way the driveway is and the value of improvement?
I don't know. I mean, it could be low if they have been fully developed and large expensive houses. But I don't think that necessarily means it needs to be downzoned.
Well, yeah, and why do you say that?
I guess because there is the potential going forward in the future. At some stage, although I know I should only be thinking about the life of the PDP. The zoning just goes across land where the proximity to the town centre and all those things means that it should be appropriate for high density residential. But as to what's already happened on these places in the past, yeah, that's right, you may not realise anything in the life of the PDP. But I don't think that means it should be rezoned to LDR. I think there should be, as much as possible, appropriately located HDR around the town centre.
I understand from a spatial or locational point of view, as you said, one of the three things that we're in agreement with them about that. But if the issue that they need to address is the question of 44,000, what difference will this HDR zone make to the solution to that problem?
And is it in a submitted location or just sort of
this particular?
It's generally probably not in this location. Because a lot of that land, it has very high land values, overlooks the lake, may not do a great deal for affordable housing.
Can you tell me what the ratio of improvements to land value was? Or can you give me any sense of what properties sell for in this area? Just for a start.
Right, the what was the latest median or average was
just over a million.
Just over a million. There was a house, a sort of newly finished house in Shotover Country, sold for $1 million a couple of months ago. So that is a more of a conventional sort of subdivision without lake views. I've looked at some of the land sales of areas around here over the last few months, and there's land that seems to be related to, you know, whether you can get some views and things like that with the lake, or anything from sort of 1600 per square metre up to sort of 3000, I think I found in some sites. These are sort of vacant areas or ones that had, you know, really old houses that were sort of ready for redevelopment.
So do you have any sense of what one of these individual properties might be worth? Is there six or eight of them? There's six occupied and two vacant, I think. But I'm just
You can look at that home website, if you sort of computer-based evaluation.
I can do that, in my own time.
Yeah.
Sorry to take your time.
I prefer if we got this as evidence rather than us looking it up.
That's true.
So it would be better if Ms. Edmund could either of you have the numbers off the council evaluation records and the more recent. It's a matter of understanding the difference between the capital value and the land value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are two vacant lots.
And yet they would be enormously expensive.
Well, they're invisible from the shared driveway, but other houses that also have premium locations. And the same issue will arise with the
Wall Street, especially in the Wall Street. I'm sorry, we're a bit held up with the Wi-Fi at the moment. That's okay. Sort of half a picture. That's it.
Would you
have
any questions?
No. Yes, the next submission is Peter Matley, Commission number 75, which is a notified medium density seeking a green space zoning.
No questions.
Okay, so moving to paper 4, other zoning. First of all, Hensman and Southern Lakes Holding Limited, Commission 543. Ms. Stevenson.
Thank you. Can I just interrupt for a minute, Mr. Chair? In my list, there's, and on the information I've got, there was a submission number 238 from NZI and Southern Women in Gorge Road. What happened to that one? If I just misread it? Was it somewhere else?
No, I think it was based on it. It's sort of mixed. This was mixed use.
Yes. I was looking for it in the list.
All right, maybe that's fallen off the table.
And
we've got quite an extensive area.
Anyway, you can come back to me on that one, thank you. I'm just moving off a really useful site that's been provided to the panel members with all the submitted properties identified, and I keep coming to this number 238, but I can't find any evidence.
I'll take you down to issue 238, so I'll make sure we return to that in the performance application.
Yes.
Okay. Submission 543.
Thank you. The submitter requests the site on Windsor Place, Queenstown Hill, be rezoned from LDR to HDR. I recommend the northern part of the site should be rezoned to India. I rely on Ms. Wendy Banks' evidence that the site is not appropriately located to support HDR zoning, primarily because it is not walkable from the Queenstown town centre. I consider that the main issues of disagreement are whether the site is suitable for HDR rezoning and whether the requested HDR rezoning concealed through the submitted evidence over the entire site is within the scope of the primary submission, which only sought HDR rezoning over the northern part of the site.
Just one more on that. Yes. PG&GH, Hansman and Southern Lakes Holdings Limited, are supposed to be zoning in the Queensland area from low density residential to high density residential. I oppose the submission because, in my view, the location is not appropriate for a HDR zone because the site is over a kilometre away from the Queenstown and town centre. And I'm concerned about the heavy reliance on private vehicles that the maximum enabled 481 HDR lots would have on the transport network. I am not certain that the safe topography and distance from the centre would encourage walking instead of driving. In my rebuttal evidence, I reconsider whether MDR would be appropriate. I do not oppose the rezoning to MDR from a transport perspective, because the neighbouring site is on MDR and the lower intensifications when compared to HDR will place a lesser demand on parking.
No. Just while you're on the subject of parking, I accept what you're saying, that a lot of the steep walk through from the town, but if you're driving, it's almost as hard to find a path. So.
But I think in Queenstown I think we generally just people do rely on their vehicles, and I think we look for we look for a neighbouring site if it's no parking.
Thank you. So the next submission is one by Queenstown Lakes District Council. There's two submissions here. The first relates to the commonage. And the second submission point on Kerry Drive. Also by So, Allianz Trustees Limited, submission 718.
The submitter requests that 11 Belfast Terrace, 2, 4 and 6 metres place on Queenstown Hill be rezoned from LDR to HDR. Ms. Lee considers that a larger area on Queenstown Hill should also be rezoned HDR, but acknowledges there is no scope in the submission for this request. I consider that the request would create a small spot zone of HDR adjoining MDR and LDR zoned land that would be inappropriate. I rely on the stamped evidence that the existing transport infrastructure and provisions do not support HDR zoning in this area. In the alternative, the submitter seeks MDR rezoning over the site. Based on the site's location adjoining a larger MDR zone on Queenstown Hill, and given that the request can be serviced by transport and infrastructure, I recommend that the alternative MDR rezoning sought should be accepted.
No, I said in my question before about this one. What does interest me is the general spatial thing, is how sometimes medium density residential is up the hill. And it's only for the Islamic Rats and Rome, sometimes it's the other way around, and sometimes HDR is in all three places. Please explain.
Again, so pretty much all the boundaries between these different residential zones have been carried over from the ODP. What was previously HDR subzone A has become HDR. Subzone B, I think, has become HDR as well. And subzone C, which was the sort of the least dense of the HDR subzone in the previous iteration of the plan, and as it was amended through plan change 10 in sort of 2008 or 9,
Anyway, subzone C has become this MDR zone, and the LDR is just stated as it is. So in the previous plan, there was HDR up on top, yeah, up on top of Queenstown Hill, and then it became subzone C, and then it became MDR. So yeah, I agree. There's no sort of perfect concentric circles or anything like that. The zoning has responded to location and topography. So, for example, the bottom side of Frankton Road being all HDR all the way along there, but then you have LDR on the other side.
Can I just confirm and say we're looking at your rebuttal evidence, but in your section 42A you recommended a remaining LDR, and now you're saying NDR, did you change on the rebuttal?
Yes, I did.
I've just discovered the submission 23182, so maybe we return to it now. It is simply fallen off the run sheet, but it's the first, on page 45 of Ms. Devlin's section 42A from section 16, and it's not covered in her rebuttal. So page 45. Any questions on that now?
So they have requested kind of the periphery of the Queenstown Town Centre should be rezoned business mixed use, and have business mixed use built along the sort of main corridor roads like Frankton Road or Stanley Street with Huntington residential behind. It was sort of almost a bit of a master planning approach.
Yes, and it has some relevance when you look at it in terms of an umbrella submission with respect to some of the more specific submission requests within it. So I just need to remind you that that's what it is. So you find it the same quote.
Mainly because of the potential loss of high-density residential surrounding the town centre, acknowledging that the business mixed-use zone does include residential, and also because of the commercial enablement by that zone all around the town centre. You can go along Stanley Street or Hallenstein Street or something, and you might suddenly find a paint shop or something that at the moment would be, you would tend to find up Gorge Road in the existing or proposed business mixed-use zone or in the town centre. So I think fundamentally the approach they were taking and the sort of master planned approach was, I support that kind of approach to figuring out where zones should go, but I just didn't think that the zone that they were seeking was the best fit.
I have no questions. Do you have any questions? No.
Okay, so the submission by Garth Tarkovsky, Belfast Corporation and Mulwood Investments Limited. This is section 21 of Ms. Devlin, section 42A.
Any questions?
Relates to York Street. The submissions are by Sue Rose, Diane Seaver, and Body Corporate 27490. Rezoning requested are high density and low density, two, all for low density.
Thanks, have you anything on this one?
Okay.
The submitted evidence is that the right of way access to the conglomeration of properties through wood zoning is choked, and that in particular it's difficult for service vehicles to manage it. These two photos show that they could, but you could just about reach out the house window and touch the Could you look at the internal arrangements and consider what that right of way was capable of handling in the way of traffic?
And so, York Street.
And this is another one in Brisbane, and will it ever become an identity residential anyway? There's a new house under construction on one of those lots.
So is this the one that's in northern countries, yeah?
Yeah, because they the sort of area is sort of put across this zone boundary, and they're saying that the houses in here that are serviced by the right of way, that the right of way couldn't serve anymore if it was, say, somebody bowled their house and put them actually over there.
Yeah, but I do remember looking at this one with the Russian way, and I had supported the rezoning going to India, LDR for Africa.
For that reason,
yeah,
because of the right of way.
Well, my question was that it sort of follows on the question of Crawford's, is that you said in your section 42A report that this downzoning would result in an inefficient use of urban land. Is that a fair assumption given the limitations of the site?
Well, that's right, maybe it isn't. Yeah. I was just thinking of that sort of ideal sort of zoning.
Straight lines for the zone.
Yeah, that's right. I'm saying that, yeah,
it's all
plans. Yeah, what's going on paper? If you've got people sort of chipping away at that HDR and wanting to turn it into LDR, which of course is the opposite of what the hill is trying to do, this is where the HDR should be.
Would it be like the zone of ZDR would create this?
If it was MDR, there's development capacity in that area. I'm not comfortable with sort of finding the whole zone, dotted in and around, site specific, I guess, almost in this case.
Well, if you look at the maps, the easement when it enters from your street is actually zoned MDR. The land that it serves is
the LDR side, yeah.
And you have to look at the ownership, surely you need to consider the potential for the HDR, sorry, the MDR to realise, and wonder if it would. So we want to, which illogical choice is the more suitable one that recognises what is there and who owns it, or the one that creates enough pattern on the plane.
You could take spend a long time sorting that sort of thing out, but I think eventually you've got to just put a zone in the appropriate, in the appropriate place with the appropriate boundary. The boundary's got to go somewhere, in previous iterations of the plan, the zone boundary has been put on here, it could be tweaked up or down, but I'm not sure if that should just be in response to what somebody has on their property at the moment. And it will be worth a lot here. And the LDR next door would be worth as much as well. potentially more you get even better views further up.
Thank you. So moving through to subgroup 6, which is a group of submissions relating to Park Street. Ms. Stephen's summary here covers the submissions by Neville Mann, submission 6 through 8. The Castle's submission, the Williams family, the Bennett family, and Ian Lynch, which was submission 503. And also the Friends of the Washington Gardens and Reserves Incorporated, submission 506.
These submitters seek either HDR or a special character overlay or a downzoning similar to the Arrowtown Residential Historic Management Zone in response to heritage values over the same site on Park Street near the Queenstown Gardens. I recommended rejecting both rezoning requests and retaining the notified NDR zoning, largely due to my concern about either a small HDR spot zone of 7,400 metres or inefficient use of land if it was downzoned. In making this recommendation, I have relied on the evidence filed by Mr. Richard Knott in Hearing Stream 3, where the appropriateness of character overlays was considered in detail. Mr. Knott concluded that the area does not exhibit a cohesive character. The main area of disagreement between the submitters and with council are the heritage values or lack thereof of the site. I consider that the special character overlay request has been comprehensively addressed in the earlier hearing stream and does not need to be revisited. In relation to the LDR HDR request, I consider that the submitter has not provided evidence that the rezoning would not result in an inappropriate spot zone in this location.
Yes, but I'm just putting again the big picture together in this area because there are four blocks really of medium density residential zoning. And Liz Leeson, her evidence for, I think it's, made to my mind a compelling case for why all four of those blocks should be high density residential. And given your penchant for nice claims that are nice and logical, I would have said you would have said the same thing.
And I have recommended
upgrading
to HDR for a couple of those blocks.
Yes, but one of all four, either. They don't have character, they are the finest site with the highest amenity closest to the city.
I think there's probably not scope to go to HDR over that whole block that the Castles and Friends of the Gardens have looked at. So they've requested a special character overlay or a downzoning. The Neville Mann submission is only a couple of sites right next to the garden. So if there had been scope for that whole block, and then join onto the block next to it, then I would be tempted to recommend that. There was another submission that thought HDR zoning over their site in the next block, but not the whole block. Yep, certainly I would, in an ideal world of my zoning, I would recommend HDR over all of those blocks, but I don't have scope to do that for these first two blocks.
I'll have to refresh my memory on this question. I had an idea that this week might have achieved that. I can see the back of some of this deal. It's more that your opinion is that all four of those blocks would be suitable for high-density residential in an ideal world.
Yes.
Thank you very much. That's all.
Recall the connection with the friends of the gardens. This is one. That's the area where the original evidence from the spokesman for that group wanted to announce the downzoning, doesn't it? Or some sort of character overlay.
Yeah.
You're not convinced that you don't share his concerns about the character of the area.
I looked into the historic heritage Herring Street to see if it had come up there, and it had, for the same submission point up and for a special character overlay for heritage overlay block, and council's expert Mr. Knott had not found anything, I guess really as some kind of, you know, additional layer of protection over that whole area.
There are a couple of buildings that have.
There are about three protected features.
I suppose the issue is whether high density surrounding those would have a serious impact on their settings.
And that was a concern that I had in my original, originally when I looked through it for the 42A. Ms. Lee provided a lot more detail about that in her submitter evidence that I thought was quite useful, just in terms of setbacks and sort of things like that, for that Mahon Marn area anyway. Yeah, and I thought that was really useful, but because it was such a small area going through HDR, I was still reluctant to recommend that for approval without the rest of the block. Yeah, she did provide a lot more about the historic heritage chapter does talk about the development setting and the curtilage, and within your site you can look at that. And there's certainly plenty of other sort of protective features around within the HDR that haven't had a special overlay or anything put over them.
Okay, so the next submission covered in section 42A is Janice Keneally, submission 821. Okay, so the next one, just for the record, was Peter Fleming and others, submission 599. Moving to subgroup 7, these submissions are all generally in support, I anticipate that we've already covered those submission points.
Yes.
And then moving to subgroup 8, which are some other rezonings relating to Park Street. The first by the Millennium and Hawthorne Hotels in Devon Limited, submission 679.
Traffic generation of these two blocks are rezoned identity.
Is that to the
developer of the street?
A few over, so we've got
at the the Millennium Cotswold, if it was to be developed, looks like its main traffic would come off the side street. If the whole block became HDR.
Yeah.
It looks like they've used, is it Brisbane Street? Did you look at the traffic generation from both of those two blocks?
Hobart Street.
Yeah. Hobart Street is looking possible, but then, having the experience of driving on Stafford since this day now, I'd like to know.
Okay, so this one's, they've requested rezoning to HDR, is that right?
Yeah.
So I haven't, in my evidence, I haven't made traffic generation assessment based on the location I find that suitable for HDR rezoning for the active transport, for public transport and the cycling. I guess I assumed that it would be more, I guess, for people travelling to the Queensland Centre, so they would be, rather than be walking or
driving. If the Millennium Cotswold, I was good to see with that block overall, but and it looked to me like they had the potential of having an entire building, probably due to them not being replaced, but also some expansion.
if that high density zoning was available to them, they'd do it. They'd probably buy if they could, probably funding the lake.
They own them.
They own them?
Yeah.
Okay, then it seems to me there's an awful lot of traffic going to come out of that block. Now, how does the state highway go?
Well, I guess from my view, I was trying to be supportive of the area that was close to Queen's Centre and be supportive of HDR.
Yes.
So,
I understand that in the land use planning, but I wouldn't assume that that means there wasn't a lot of traffic because of the already I've heard that people are car dependent. But also, a big complex like that would have buses and all kinds of things going on. Now, if you get medium density on one side of Hobart and high density on the other side, does the, what does that mean with density? And just efficiency is my question to this thing.
From a traffic point of view, I think there's certainly the state highway. Rupert would be affected by traffic generation from the development. But I think I just want to be supportive of trying to create these HDR zones that are near the train centre so we're not so heavily reliant on vehicles, private vehicle use.
But I just read your evidence on all the properties on Branson Road everywhere, anywhere there's a right turn into the highway. I mean, what are the traffic volumes on the state highway at Millennium or nearby? What are they like? Because I suppose it's not hard to make a right turn if everything's parked on the road, which is what I've seen frequently. So I really want to understand the logic of rezoning two blocks for eight. Here, when they're right fronting the highway, and the other logic of being more restrictive of other upzonings, we can't suspend them here. Where I would say, well, you could pick that, maybe you're right.
Well, I guess I'd say it for that location, you are closer to the place of nature, you're closer to public transport, so you can walk in and take public transport to the and they will go back home. Towards the west, I think it's just more a case of wanting to sort of promote these areas where people don't need to have to own vehicles, especially for that location of the area.
People who live in this block are not going to, people are not living in this block as a block of the living when they leave the battle. But it's not like, apartments adjacent to Fifth Avenue in New York. And this is a particularly tricky corner at the front of where the Millennium platform is based. I'm interested in knowing how it would work, because it would seem to me the only logical thing to do when you're developing this would be put the traffic out onto Hobart. And then from Hobart they go right, and then they go left or right at that nasty corner. Well, the alternative is to come out on Adelaide, and then it means the right turn into the state highway. Now, right turns into the state highway have not been a popular choice with you on Franklin's left area.
No. I mean, there is a median that would help, that helps them type in, which in my view is not safe. Perhaps we should potentially look at the current level of that intersection, and perhaps it is really required. I guess the only solution really you have is by a signal. But then you are close to the next intersection as well.
In an order of magnitude, I don't
have to. Oh, I think, I'm assuming perhaps around 10 to 20 seconds a day.
So that's less than what happens out of in the Franklin Flats area.
I think it's probably
yeah. Okay. I'm not a lawyer, yet, but yeah, yeah, yeah. Down there help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could Park Street be used for the maintenance and then distribute traffic over?
Yes, I mean that's what I guess with that location
probably isn't necessarily favourable to that, but I'm just wondering how do you make these two blocks work, two high density blocks with traffic services when one of them is likely to be redeveloped as an international hotel, will certainly grow over time.
But then I guess if I become a hotel, it's likely that they will all come in the bus or they will not.
What? The less likely that there's each one a vehicle?
Well, isn't the reality here though, if you fly in the Queenstown, you actually need a rental car.
Yeah.
So the tourists need to arrive in small groups of twos or threes to get a rental car and drive to their hotel.
Yeah.
This is why it's hard to park.
Yes, that is true. And I think what I said before, I believe that location is just supporting us to kind of show that if you do live there or you visit it, that you're less likely to hire on the car, I think that's a difficult one to...
I understand your sympathy for hiding the residential, and I also understand that the traffic problem that I'm looking at might lead to more attention.
Yeah, I was always supportive of the high density residential areas where it is close to nature as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes.
Do you have any questions? No, I haven't been and I think we might well have covered the next two. I'll check that in the morning.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Chair.
I don't think I've seen anyone.
Sorry.